This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. I'm Will. He's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, we preview WWE Battleground, complete with America versus Foreign Menace, multiplied by three. For complete coverage of WWE Battleground, make sure to check out Jason Powell's report on ProWrestling.net. And if you are a ProWrestling.net member, you will get an exclusive audio review with Jason Powell and Jake Barnett breaking down every tiny little bit of WWE Battleground for you Sunday night. Plus, don't miss .net Live with myself, Will Pruitt, and Jason Powell taking calls on Monday about WWE Battleground. So, Jake, how obstructed is every seat for that Punjabi prison match? I'm watching SmackDown, and I see them break out the structure, and I was kind of excited because we haven't seen the structure in HD. We haven't seen it in years. I thought they might change it the way they changed the Elimination Chamber, but no luck. Will anyone in that arena have a clear view of what is actually happening until they get to the outer cage?
The hard camera shot was like 95% obstructed. And that's usually WWE's best camera angle. And I can't even imagine. I mean, this is one time where being ringside may actually benefit you in some way. Like, normally it's like minimal benefit at a wrestling show to be right up against the barricade. But you're definitely going to need something like that here, because I really don't know how. I mean, obviously they have the ability to have the cameras anywhere they want. But yeah. I mean, in the arena, you're almost going to be like, I have to look at the screen for this. And if people are opposite the screen, you're totally hosed.
Well, and occasionally WWE decides not to show what's happening in the arena on the screen because the screen is slightly visible on TV. So they want to just have the show logo up there for some reason because, I don't know, Kevin Dunn is dumb. It looks so bad. Like, it looks like a really miserable in-arena experience. How do you feel that compares to, like, what when you saw the Elimination Chamber live? Because I know you've seen one of those matches, and those don't have the least obstructed view.
You know, I really didn't struggle to see the chamber. I think I was with Jason and Wade Keller and a few others, but we could see, you know, we were right behind the hard camera a few rows, and we could see pretty well directly into the ring from where we were. But I think the problem is, like, the inner structure and the outer structure are not, like, aligned for camera gaps. Yeah. And so you end up with, like, this kind of grid view of everything, and it just looks terrible on television.
It really does. I was stunned at how kind of not great it looked. Like, even spectacle wise, it doesn't look all that impressive, and it just looks big and cumbersome. I'm curious to see how things end up looking for this match on Sunday. Jake, who do you think wins this? Do they put the title back on Randy Orton, or does Jinder Mahal manage to escape the Punjabi prison with the WWE Championship?
I have a feeling we're going to get Jinder Mahal and John Cena at SummerSlam. Just based on the absolute madness that was his promo on SmackDown. I suppose, you know, we could get a rematch with Rusev, but I mean, just vanquishing foreign threats seems like something that John Cena is like 100% built to do. And so, I mean, his return on July 4th was sort of patriotic in a way. And then he's been in this program with Rusev, and I just have a sneaking suspicion that that's the goal here. So I'm going to say Mahal retains somehow, and it'll be probably because they find a way to get the Singh brothers inside the cage in some way or another.
Yeah, I think the Singh brothers get into that second structure, and it's possible that Orton gets into the second structure and then the Singh brothers get in and Mahal gets out of the first one that way. Like, I definitely think they make it look like some sort of cheatery that gets Mahal there, but I think you're going to have Jinder Mahal still insulting America and John Cena going rah-rah USA at this point. So I'm with you on Jinder Mahal winning. Ty Dillinger and Aiden English on the pre-show. Ty Dillinger wins because he's a babyface?
Yeah, I mean, it'll probably be a satisfying opener. I mean, I think Dillinger's been okay in the ring. I mean, he's not like super fantastic or anything. You know, he hasn't blown my doors off since making his way to the main roster. But he and English are capable, and for a pre-show match, it's decent. I mean, they'll get a favorable crowd reaction because it is the opener and people aren't completely burnt out yet, so it'll be all right.
Yeah, the 10 chance should be over for this one, especially since they're in Philly, and Philly should be kind of fun with it. Sami Zayn against Mike Kanellis. Did this impress you on SmackDown? I was talking with Jason about it today, and we both kind of came to the determination that it was not good.
Yeah, I was in the same boat. Okay. When I watched on Tuesday, I was like, is Mike going to show us anything here? And I don't know. It's not necessarily that I don't think he's a capable wrestler. It's just this angle that they're booking with him and Maria thus far, it just made him look really weak. And I don't know if that's the goal. Like, you know, Jason has called it henpecked a bunch of times, and that's probably the proper way to describe it. But it seems like she is the one who's always coming to his defense, and then he, you know, he uses that to take shortcuts. And I just don't know if that's a recipe for long-term success. I hope they modify it in some way. I think he goes over here because, you know, they're going to want to, you know, keep a new character somewhat strong. But I'm just not impressed by it this far.
Yeah, neither am I. I've kind of enjoyed some of the stuff they've done on the mic, but I was really not impressed with that match on SmackDown, and I think both guys are capable of having a better match with each other. So hopefully we get something closer to that, although I think we're going to get something more akin to rinsing and repeating from Sami Zayn and Mike Kanellis, at least at this point. AJ Styles and Kevin Owens for the U.S. Championship. I don't think they take the title off of AJ yet, and I think this match might be honestly the only reason to watch this show.
Yeah, I don't know where Kevin Owens goes from here if he's not challenging for the U.S. title. It seems like he wouldn't regain it here because I think Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ is probably the ultimate goal for SummerSlam for the U.S. championship. It seems like they were foreshadowing that pretty heavily on Tuesday SmackDown with their brief backstage segment together. But I do agree that that this really is the glue for me for this show. I really want to see this rematch. I thought their first U.S. championship match was very good. And even though they took kind of a cop-out finish, I think this match will definitely impress. I hope they get enough time. Certainly there isn't anything crunching them for time on this show. So if they get 20, 25 minutes, it could be a real classic.
Yeah, as far as time goes, I mean, the Punjabi prison will probably have a decent amount. This should have a decent amount. And maybe the women's elimination match will be pretty long. I don't know what else goes super long on this show. This is not a show built to last 3.5 hours. And hey, that's at least something we can be thankful for, you know?
Yeah, I'm all about 2, 2.5 hour pay-per-views. Bring them on. You know, there's really no reason that they have to stretch all these out to 3 hours, especially when they have so damn many of them. It's ridiculous.
Shinsuke Nakamura and Baron Corbin. We've got money, Mr. Money in the Bank, Baron Corbin, and we have Nakamura, who seems to be going towards that U.S. title picture for SummerSlam. I kind of think Corbin wins here because they can always have Nakamura win a battle royal or something for the U.S. title shot. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't see a reason to have Corbin lose being the briefcase holder. I mean, I'm assuming that will probably play into the match somehow. Maybe we'll get a briefcase shot or something, you know, behind the ref's back. I don't think we're going to get a clean finish here in terms of somebody getting, you know, hit with a finisher in 1, 2, 3 without any shenanigans. But, I don't think Shinsuke Nakamura is at a point where, you know, he can't afford to take a loss. If it's cheap enough and he's able to win maybe a number one contenders match for the U.S. championship on SmackDown, then, you know, I'm all for it. I think Corbin is enough of a threat with the briefcase, and he needs to be booked strongly enough to maintain that threat. I'd hate to see him start losing matches and then just kind of fade into the background.
Do you think people will get really upset if Shinsuke Nakamura loses to Baron Corbin? Because I could see certain sects of people getting a little angry about it and saying things like that would never happen in New Japan. And it's like, yeah, they treat win and losses a lot different than WWE does.
Yeah, I guess it'll probably upset some people, but I don't think on the, you know, on the grand scale of things, I think Shinsuke Nakamura is destined for very big things in WWE, and this one match on this one show, you know, being in the situation they are booking wise, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to have Nakamura go over clean, especially if he's you know, if Corbin is set to be, you know, a threat in the coming months. I mean, it you know, there's probably an argument to be made that they could do a non-finish, but I would prefer to see Corbin, you know, get a signature win here.
The Usos against New Day. Is this the time the Usos win or drop the titles to New Day? I think it is, because I don't think they have plans for a long, epic tag team match on the SummerSlam card.
Yeah, that's probably, you know, the right call, you know, to make. I guess I don't know if, I mean, maybe they could fit both tag team championship matches on the SummerSlam card. But if they do, I would think the SmackDown one would end up being the abbreviated one, you know? Like, it seems like they have something going on with the Hardys that they want to make into a big deal. And if that match is going to eat up considerable time at SummerSlam, I don't think there'd be a lot of time for New Day and the Usos. So, you know, we'll probably see a return match between them at SummerSlam, or, you know, but I think the title change probably happens here.
Yeah, that's just kind of the impression I get too. I don't see it as that big of a thing. The only thing I could see with WWE wanting to make sure that it happens at SummerSlam is wanting to get the New Day a big moment in Brooklyn. But they did that 2 years ago with them, and it was great. It started off a really fun title reign for the New Day, so I don't know that they need to go back to it.
Yeah, I think New Day are going to be over regardless. I guess I don't know where the tag division goes on SmackDown.
Who's in that title picture?
Those are out of the way. You know, that's why I'm wondering if a couple of singles wrestlers are going to end up pairing up to go after them. You know, because it's like you got like the Hype Bros and, you know, Breezango, and there's just nobody waiting in the wings. It's a great fit, especially since American Alpha's kind of done. You know, it's over for them, at least in the short term. So unless they're bringing people up or they have some magic plan to keep this feud alive, I just don't know where it goes from here, unless they're going to take two, you know, like the Dolph Ziggler's and people who are off of feuds for the moment, you know, and pair them up. I just don't know which direction they go from here.
As someone who has thoroughly not enjoyed Dolph Ziggler for a while, putting him in a tag team would be a great idea. That would be a really smart way to use what they have invested in Ziggler in a fun way. Put him in a team with someone, but I'm not really sure who else I'd put in that team.
Kevin Owens.
Oh.
No, I'm joking. I have no idea.
That could get really depressing so fast. Cena versus Rusev in a flag match. Neither of us are sure how you win a flag match, right?
I mean, yeah, I don't know which rule set is going to be implemented here.
Yeah.
We can order the WWE Book of Rules, but I bet there's a lot of entries for flag matches because it seems like they've changed the way that they're implemented over time. So I think we decided that we think it's pulling down the flag and then taking it up to the top of the ramp, right?
Yeah, because they had the bases there on SmackDown, and I wouldn't have thought that. I would not have thought that until, say, SmackDown, really, because I thought that a flag match where the flags were in the corners like that, it just meant that you climbed up and you retrieved the flag for your country.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, again, like it's impossible to know. Like, we'll get to Sunday, and then you'll have Tom Phillips doing his best to explain what the hell we're supposed to be looking at, and that'll have to be good enough, I guess. I mean, there's only so much suspense you can generate in a match by having guys repeatedly, like, trying to grab at a flag that's clearly within reach, but they have to like fake a struggle to try to, it's just, these are the worst. Like, I don't know where they're going to create drama in this match, but I assure you it'll probably end up looking silly.
Yeah. I think they are bound to look silly here, but I don't think this is a long match. I don't think they care if Rusev loses a flag match to John Cena in 10 minutes.
No, not at all. I assume Cena wins and we get the big USA celebration, and that'll be enough. And it'll probably be bookended by, you know, the finish of the show being, you know, Jinder Mahal. So go ahead.
How many matches on this show? I think it's three that technically feature foreign bad guys against all American good guys in the Cena and Rusev, Mahal and Orton, and Styles and Owens matches. Oh my gosh, Jake, why? Why does wrestling need to have this many purely foreign bad guys? And I know that there are matches on the show featuring non-American wrestlers who are not presented as bad guys, but for the most part, this show works to send the message that if you are not American, you are not a good person.
Yeah, the foreign menace thing is—it's such a trope in wrestling at this point that every time I see it, it gets just even more nauseating.
Unless I'm seeing it on Glow.
Yeah. I mean, there's a certain nostalgia element on Glow that made that kind of fun, but because it was, you know, the Soviet, you know, generic evil character with the bad accent that kind of cracked me up. But just listening to, like, Rusev has, you know, made basically, like, solid points about, like, negative aspects of U.S. culture. And then Cena just comes out there and gives, like, you know, just one of the weirdest promos that I've ever heard in modern wrestling, you know, trying to hype up this match. And I don't know, that one stuck out to me as being the most heavy-handed, very obviously. And they've been doing the Mahal thing for months now, and his promos have basically been identical from beginning to end. And I guess, you know, it bothers me the least with Owens and Styles, because I don't think Styles has made, you know, his, you know, good old American, good old boys club kind of thing part of his character. But certainly Owen's Face of America gimmick is something that they should be running away from as fast as they possibly can, because I just don't think it has a future.
Yeah, it's all of it is really weird. Just the maybe one of these matches on a show I get, but it seems like SmackDown has really focused on this since WrestleMania. Like the id of SmackDown has been America since Mania, and it's unfortunate because the show has gotten worse. Between that and Randy Orton being in the main event scene for 6 months, SmackDown has really been a disappointing television show more often than not. Let's talk about the women real quick, though, because the last match on this show, Charlotte, Becky, Natalya, Tamina, Lana, it's a five-way elimination match because on SmackDown, they cannot, for some reason, have less than five women in a pay-per-view match. At Money in the Bank, it was a five-way, plus James Ellsworth for some ungodly reason. At Backlash, it was a five-way, it was a six-woman tag, and at WrestleMania, it was a six-pack challenge. Jake, why can't they book one-on-one matches? What's so bad about a one-on-one match?
That's a good point. I really don't know. I mean, it seemed like, you know, coming out of the draft, when SmackDown was initially spun off as a separate show, they seemed to have it together. You know, they had three individual feuds going at any given time in the women's division, and they had several matches dedicated to it on the average SmackDown pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And I just don't know where the ball has been dropped, or, you know, the creative energy has fizzled out. It is a strange phenomenon to watch play out. And I'm not sure if that's because of a perceived weakness of the champion, or if it's because they don't have a comfort level with the roster yet. But I mean, most of these women are, you know, mainstays on SmackDown. You know, Becky Lynch has been there forever. Natalya's been there forever. Carmella's been there since the show launched. Naomi's been there since the show launched. Like, I don't know why adding new people to the mix has suddenly made it impossible to book singles feuds. And maybe they feel like they're covering for, you know, some people's ring work. And I guess I understand it to some level. But at some point, they're going to have, you know, singles matches for championships to make that SmackDown women's title feel important. Because I think they've done a much better job of making Alexa Bliss's title feel important than they have with Naomi's, and it's a shame.
Yeah, neither women's division in WWE has been particularly well-booked in the last few months, but This one is kind of, it's notable in how often they're going back to the exact same thing, and that's all of these women are going to fight now, and it's kind of getting tiring. I'm watching it just going like, oh my gosh, are we not done with this yet? You've got Carmella on the outside of this, you have Naomi on the outside of this. Who do you think wins this five-way elimination match, and do you think somehow on the show we end up seeing Carmella cash in or something like that?
I don't think Carmella cashes in. I mean, unless she's going to call Naomi out at some point in the show. Like, Naomi's not really involved in the five-way match, so it wouldn't be like she could pounce and capture the championship on a weakened opponent or something. But I see, you know, potentially Becky Lynch winning, simply because I think their best feud at this point, you know, coming out of that Money in the Bank match, was Carmella and James Ellsworth basically robbing Becky Lynch twice of the Money in the Bank briefcase, and having Becky win here and then have Carmella steal the championship from her at SummerSlam by cashing in after a hard fought match or something. It seems like a feud that they could launch into the fall with, you know, and maybe they can preserve Becky and Charlotte's eventual feud for something around WrestleMania, because I think that's the really the top tier match for this show. And certainly they showed, you know, that they still have some great chemistry with their match on SmackDown this past week. So, I mean, I guess anything is possible. I really don't have a great feel for where they're going with this division, simply because of the way it's been booked. It's been sort of random and everybody's been kind of clumped together, and even Steven. So I really don't have high confidence in my pick, but Becky seems like the most likely one in my mind.
That's interesting. I kind of highlighted Charlotte for some similar reasons, that I think they really, obviously, they want Charlotte to be a big deal, and it's the SmackDown title match, or the SummerSlam SmackDown Women's Championship match, so I figured they would really like to have Charlotte in that key spot. I also just kind of think that was the last big thing they were doing before they started wrapping everyone together in six ways after WrestleMania, so I think that could be a definite possibility. But for the same reason Becky could be, because obviously they care a lot about Becky being important and all that. I think we're agreed Lana isn't winning, though.
I hope not. I mean, I guess I just don't know what she offers at this point. You know, there's not a real strong character there. She's clearly a very early work in progress in the ring. I guess I'm searching for a term that doesn't sound really mean, but she's just not there yet from an in-ring perspective. And I'm glad that they're sort of pairing her with Tamina at this point, because she's really going to need some distractions from the outside to keep matches interesting. But, I guess it really depends on what mood they're in, because it's certainly Charlotte is ready to be a key player at any given moment, except they've cast her as a babyface at this point. I just don't know if she's suited for it. You know, it's not something that I really want to see her take on for a lengthy title reign. You know, she's best when she's a heel, and when she's a babyface, she's just kind of one note, and she comes across kind of heelish anyway. So I don't know. We'll see which direction they go, but I think both Becky and Charlotte are plausible.
Do you think Baron Corbin cashes in on this show to completely change the subject here?
I wouldn't be against it, but I think it would ruin what I assume they want to do with Mahal and Cena. So I'm going to say no for now, but I could definitely see them having him cash in on Cena at some point, simply because I'm assuming, you know, he's not going to be around full time for very long.
Yeah, I kind of think they're going to hold off on Corbin probably until the second half of the year, or maybe even first half of next year. It wouldn't shock me to see him even in a WWE championship match at WrestleMania. Not an important one, but, you know, it's not like Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt was all that important either. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for this show, Jake?
I'm kind of like a 4, maybe a 5 if I'm being generous. There's just not a lot here that really excites me. I mean, I'm interested to see Styles and Owens and what kind of chemistry Nakamura and Corbin have in a singles environment. But there's a whole lot of this show that's just not drawing me in a whole lot. The main event, the Punjabi prison, it's a spectacle, but I'm not particularly into either of the competitors. I guess the tag match should be fun. I've enjoyed what the Usos and New Day have been able to put together. But it's definitely a 5. I don't have high expectations for match quality on this show, to be honest with you.
I think I gave this show, when I talked about it with Jason earlier today, I think I said I was at a 2 out of 10 for excitement. Like, I'm really not very excited about this show. I don't think it's going to be great. I'll watch it. I will talk about it the day after on .NET Live, but I cannot say that I am especially eager to watch this show. Finally, Jake, what's making you happy in wrestling this week?
Catching up on the G1, man. Really fun stuff, particularly Ibushi and Naito was just off the charts good. Oh, and I enjoyed so Zack Sabre Jr. And Tanahashi as well. So really good stuff on night one. And I'm looking forward to seeing how these brackets pay off and what kind of story they tell throughout the tournament. So it's been everything I hoped it would be thus far.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying the G1. It's 2 nights in right now, and I have at least watched main events from each night, which has me feeling more caught up on the G1 than I've been in a while. And man, that Ibushi and Naito match was something. It was really, really fun and exciting. It was great to watch Ibushi again and see him kind of come out unhindered by anything and be like, oh wow, oh yeah, this guy is freaking awesome. This is great.
Yeah, and I guess, it's hard to I will bring up, did you see what Jim Cornette had to say about Ibushi and Omega today? I laughed so hard I almost fell out of my chair.
I am blocked by Jim Cornette on Twitter because I don't know, I'm a decent person. I don't get it. But so I didn't see it, but I've seen that it compared them to certain genocidal former world leaders.
Yes. Yeah, the Godwin's Law was in full effect, yeah, on that one. I honestly don't quite understand having that narrow-minded a perspective on wrestling, but it makes for some excellent comedy. So as long as you don't tweet mean things at Jim Cornette, just follow him and break in the funny, because it's very good stuff.
Yeah, it's he definitely has a shtick, so there's that. He has that going for him. On that note, I think we'll wrap it up for this week. Thanks for hanging out, Jake.
Thanks for chatting.